Hello and welcome to the Gathering's Message of the Week. Thank you for listening. It is our prayer that through these messages, God would inspire, challenge, and encourage you. For more information about our church, please visit gatheringtohim.org. That's gathering, number two, him.org. Enjoy and be blessed.
So, was that it? That's all that happened at the conference? That's not what I heard, but is that it? I mean, is there any other testimonies? Because I don't need to talk. Really, I want to know if there's any other testimonies. I'm good. Yeah. Thank you, Kara. Well, I do want to say, while you're thinking about it, and maybe it might take a while, so I'll just go and talk for a while. But I was thinking that, for me, one of the biggest privileges is seeing our church put something like this on. You know, it's really a big event. I had several people come to me, and this is the same as last year, but I had specific people come to me. And these are people in ministry, so they get to travel to conferences. They go places. I had one person in particular tell me, man, this is really well done. This is really well organized. And I'm just super impressed with this and super thankful for it. And several times, this is just really well organized. And who's your team of people that put this together? So let me just give thanks for our team. Tiffany, thank you for all you did. And appreciate the work, hard work. And it really is amazing to think about the people that have poured into it. We had a whole team of people. We have Josh Watts, who puts a lot of energy into it. We have Isaac and Courtney Tiger and Becca and many others. We have a whole team of people who are really putting effort into making sure everything happens the way that it should. And what a huge blessing to have those people working behind the scenes. And that takes... That's a process of, we'll start working eventually. We'll start working again for next year, not right away. We'll take a little bit of a break, but we will start to, I mean, we'll have meetings right away just to debrief what happened at the conference and to talk about it. And so there's effort going on all year long and planning and preparation. And then there's all of you who pitch in and help out and serve, and what a huge blessing. And so I just want to thank you all for all that you did. Now, there were so many awesome things that did happen, I know, personally, from my own perspective, things that I wish I could say up here. I can't, but some things that were pretty awesome that I can share. One in particular, oh, by the way, the other testimony, another one I was going to share of another person who said about the conference. I go to conferences all over the place. I've been to large ones, little ones, and all kinds of things, and this is really well done. This is really well done. This is like a professional conference. And I thought, wow, that's a big statement. I never thought that it would be, it would compare that much to other conferences. But I just want to say thank you to everybody who served and all of your effort. Really, from the bottom of my heart, it was what a pleasure to see many people coming in and drinking from the rivers that we're able to bring in and let them experience. What a huge blessing. And so with that, just want to say, for me personally, one of the little highlights for me was at the very end of the conference, we brought in the Kids Ablaze team and had them praying over in the corner for various people. And I sent a couple people over there, but there were also other people who were going over there. And every single person that came back from the Kids Ablaze team were like, oh my goodness, they're awesome. And this and that and everything that they were saying. So I thought, well, I'm going to go over there and get prayer. They don't really know anything about the inner workings of my life or anything else. And just to back up a bit, but a couple weeks, well, probably 2 months before this, I had in here during a prayer night on a Tuesday night, I had the Lord gave me a word, and then I had a vision in the middle of our prayer night, well, at the end. And it was a strange thing. It was about trees. And it was about my arms being outstretched like this, and there was like roots and light. It was kind of weird going out of my hands. I've never seen anything like this for myself. But anyway, it was kind of just like shooting out of my hands in both directions. And I thought, oh, it's just going out, you know, like it's just broadening. But then it went out and straight down into the ground, and trees began to come up. And it just kept doing that over and over and over again. And I thought, how bizarre is this? And there have been a lot of visions about trees. And, you know, we also had a word spoken on Sunday morning about, you know, God raising, you know, the trees in the forest and those kind of things. And then I went over there to that little prayer team. And as they were praying for me, one of the words came up, and they started saying the same thing and about trees coming up out of my roots. I was like a tree, a large tree, and my roots were going out, and trees were popping up off of my roots, and it was weird. And then I came in on Tuesday night, and I got here late, and Kara was standing here, and she was saying, I see Todd standing, and I didn't even know if you knew I was here yet, but because I came in late, and she said, I see Todd standing, and his arms are stretched from north to south, and it was, I'm not saying this right, was it light? What was it? Tell me what it was again. You saw going out of my hand.
Your arms were just really long, and it was stretched the whole way.
Oh, my arms were stretching.
South to north. It's like from Florida to all the way, Maine.
Maine. There is a state all the way up there at the top. It's called Maine. And, yeah, okay. And so, anyway, the words, it was all kind of like tying together for me, and it was really neat. And I didn't realize, but I had slipped this piece of paper. On the Tuesday night that prayer time happened, when I had that vision, I had written that down, and I kind of just slid it in my stuff for later. I would review it later when I had time. Well, after the conference was over, I was like, I'm going to get all of these words and put them all down. And I had forgotten about that. When I went to put it down, I was writing both of those, and all three of these words were like side by side. And I was like, this is really cool. And that was actually four different confirmations for me about the same thing. And isn't that neat how God uses these events and times when people come together and pray and you hear the various words? But that was a special blessing for me, just to hear the words and also hear what they had to say. And every single one of those kids in that prayer circle, as they were praying for me, almost virtually were, like, they were praying things about me that they obviously didn't know, but as they were giving me these prophetic words and visions, they were all telling me very similar things from different perspectives and different visions, and it was really awesome to hear. It was quite a confirming thing for myself. And so I just want to say, there's nothing wrong with having children or young people pray for you. And in fact, I believe it can be a really awesome experience. And I think many of the people who walked away from that had a powerful experience. Aside from the people that got hit with the power of God and people that were healed, people that came, I was very blessed because we actually expanded. I know that maybe there weren't some people there that were there last year, but we had grown. And I believe it's going to continue to grow. And I'm expecting that and excited for it. And I kind of get the sense that we come in here on a Sunday after that, and when we should be pretty pumped up or feel pretty pumped up, I think we're kind of wore out too. And it's okay to rest. Just don't rest in the flesh. I feel like we're called to rest in the grace of God and in His Spirit. And sometimes the world rests by doing things that they should not do, and it leads them into places they should not go. But I believe that God's called us to rest in Him. And so we find our strength and rest in the Lord. I'm going to talk to you about something this morning that I believe is related to the conference, related to what we're doing with the conference. And it's not all about the conference. I just believe there's an element there that I want to talk about. And so this weekend, you heard this word. I'm going to read it again. It's taken from Isaiah 54. Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams, and your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Some of you know it better. With words like this, stretch out your tent, right? Stretch out your tent. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And at the very end of this whole passage, it says, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Resettle the ruined cities. Now, we're called to resettle the ruined cities. In other words, that's speaking not just of like going and occupying that place. It's actually talking about rebuilding what's been ruined, making new again what's been destroyed. And so I really believe that this is the call of God, that all of people, all of his people have, and we have a specific call to that as well. And what is our role in rebuilding the ancient ruins? What is our role in building or making new the ancient ruins? This passage talks about and we take this as a prophetic word for our house, that we're to stretch out our tent, right? We're to move out and to have, just like was said last Sunday, we're to have an attitude of expansion. Amen? An attitude of expansion, that we ought to be thinking God wants to expand us, and how can we expand? How does he want us to expand? And I believe that we've been looking at that in many different ways the last couple of years. But stretch out your tent. Lengthen your cords. Lengthen your cords. Well, if you know anything about a tent, you know, to stretch out your tent, to make it wider, you would have to lengthen the cords that hold it down. So we want to make the tent wider. Of course, we're not talking about, fixed structures like we have. But in their day, many of their structures would be a tent that was movable, and they could take it where they wanted to move their whole home. Like you would have thought of Abraham or Jacob or any of these guys who were living in the land. They would have lived in tents and moved their tents as they needed to. And so whenever you hear about this, to stretch out your tent, you know, we're talking about tents with tent pegs. Now, oftentimes when it's, and somebody actually talked to me about this not too long ago, but the question is, when we talk about lengthening our cords and stretching out our tents, sometimes we miss the part that says, and strengthen your tent pegs. Strengthen your tent pegs. Well, here's the truth. If you're going to lengthen your cords, if you're going to stretch out your tent, then you're going to have to strengthen your tent pegs. Because if you don't strengthen your tent pegs, they can't hold what needs to be held. They can't hold the greater width or the greater dimensions of the tent. And so we need to strengthen the tent pegs. We need to drive them deeper. Sometimes it's not just driving them deeper, but it's also surrounding them with things that will hold them. So how do you strengthen your tent pegs? What do the tent pegs symbolize? To me, it's like foundation. Everything else moves to enlarge, and we want to enlarge, but the tent pegs are the foundation. They're immovable, right? Notice it doesn't say to move the tent pegs. It says lengthen the cords so that from the tent pegs you can expand this building. Amen? So the tent pegs don't move. The tent pegs need strengthened, though. But the tent pegs are foundational. They're foundational. So what is the foundation for us? The foundation for us is truth. Amen. The foundation for us is truth. Truth never moves. The truth does not move. It is the Word. It's the Word of God. It is truth. And truth and the Word do not move. And so you need to understand that our foundation is the faith in what God has said. We strengthen our tent pegs by strengthening the Word in us, or our faith in what God says. We strengthen our tent pegs. We need to go deeper into the Word. We need to have our foundation laid stronger so that we can expand and not worry about our tent pegs moving. Right? Amen. I believe that God's called us to expand, and we're going to talk about that. I believe that the many things that we see happening with such things as the Overflow Conference is a way that God's called us to expand. And last year, and I already have the numbers, but we have expanded from last year to this year. There's no doubt about it. We have expanded. And I believe that's going to continue to happen. So, but it's not just in numbers. Obviously, we know there's other ways of expanding. But we are expanding in numbers. So, God wants us to work at this last thing right here, the expansion part, so that we could occupy and resettle the ruined cities, or to repair that which was ruined. What it says right here. He wants us to enlarge our house. He wants us to strengthen our tent pegs so that we can occupy and resettle the ancient ruined cities, those places which have been destroyed. So I'm going to take you to another passage. This is Genesis chapter 6. Verse 11, this is right before God destroys the earth with the flood, and this is what it says. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So right before the destruction of the whole earth, right before this happens, you know, we have the beginning, we have creation. God establishes Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve sin. And after they sin, sin begins to spiral. Like corruption, this word corruption is an important word, I think. And so things begin to spiral out of control. Sin begins to rampantly reproduce. And people, we go from eating an apple or eating a piece of fruit to killing your brother. Like murder. And so it actually says that violence fills the earth, you know, that people were corrupt and violence was filling the earth. So this idea of corruption, which is what I want to talk about, says, now that God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence, I'm going to say it again, and he observed all this corruption in the world because everyone had become corrupt. This word corrupt, I'm going to try and say it in Hebrew. It's going to sound like I'm spitting or coughing something up. But it's shakath. So corruption is this Hebrew word. It means to ruin. It means to decay, to corrupt, to be marred, to spoil, be rotted, destroy, or utterly waste. Utterly waste. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 and 25, it says that you have been born again, not with a perishable, but an imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. That word where it says perishable and imperishable is actually, in the Greek, it's the same word that they would use for corrupt or incorruptible. So when we talk about corrupt, which is something that is utterly wasted, I should say, it's rotted, it's spoiled, it's decayed, it's ruined. It's that which has been destroyed and destroyed by sin. So we live in a world, and obviously the people who were in Noah's day were living in a world that had been utterly destroyed by sin, right? Ruined. Years ago, I had an experience where I had a dream, and in this dream, I died in my dream, and I went to heaven. And between the place of earth and heaven, I went from feeling this extreme anxiety, fear, the weight of this life was on me. I didn't even really recognize. I was just living life. I mean, in my dream, it was normal. And whenever I passed from this life to the next life, something happened that it's hard to explain, but the weight of sin that we carry. Now, we're saved, but we still have a weight of sin that we don't know applies to our flesh, that we carry. And whenever we go to heaven, whenever we move from this life to that life, we will. The Bible says that we will experience, full salvation. We'll experience our full salvation, right? So if that happens, there's a change. We receive new bodies. In fact, even in this passage in 1 Peter, it talks about our incorruptible bodies. So here we are again with the word incorruptible. We receive new incorruptible bodies, not laden with sin, not laden with the weight or the effect of sin. And so what I experienced was this effect of this total peace and this weight that was lifted off me that I didn't even know existed. I believe that we carry a weight that we don't even know exists, but whenever we enter into the glory, the full glory of God, there's a weight that's lifted off of us that's beyond what we can think or imagine. And so what I'm saying to you is that that is what we will enter into when we enter into his glory. So we live in a state or the world which is affected by the decay or the ruin of sin, right? This is what God said back in Noah's day. He said, this whole world is full of corruption. Now, obviously, Jesus has come and he started the work of redemption because that's what God does. He redeems that which is lost. He redeems that which is broken or lost or ruined. 1 Peter 1, 23, I'm going to read it again. You have been born again, not with a perishable, but an imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. Other translations say incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. I'm going to flip to Isaiah 61. This is a familiar passage. Jesus quoted it about himself. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. This whole passage, Jesus says, listen, this passage is about me, and I have come, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I have come to do this work, to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released, prisoners freed, I'll bring the good news to the poor. You know, there's all of this thing is about the kingdom of God arriving on the earth and breaking the stronghold of sin over our lives, right? So we move from this place of heaviness and sin to this place of glory and freedom in Christ. But he says it's not just for you and me. Jesus died. He broke the power of sin. He broke the power of darkness over us. But it wasn't just so that we could be free. He did it so that we could also rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. We who have been redeemed, we who have accepted this good news and it received a joyous blessing instead of despair. Amen. We who have received these things are called to rebuild and revive that which has been deserted and broken and ruined and decayed and corrupted. Are you understanding? God has called us to make what is corrupt incorruptible. Because he has made us incorruptible and he has given us his incorruptible seed, which has birthed new life in us, and now we also are called to do the same thing. The Bible says that when God speaks, when he says something, his word goes out and accomplishes what he wants it to accomplish. Amen? How does God speak today? I mean, the last time I've heard his audible voice has been a while. Y'all hearing his audible voice pretty regular? Okay, so the word of God, when he speaks, the word of God has to travel. There has to be some sort of conduit. We pick up these things right here. We pick up mics so that our word is heard. So that when we speak, our word is heard, right? God has tools, and he has made us his tool. We're those who proclaim his word. So when his word goes out, it goes out through the conduit of you and me. We're carriers of the word. How do we change the society that we live in? How do we change the world, the cities destroyed by corruption? How do we bring them to a place where they're no longer corrupt? You know, the Bible says that Jesus, when he comes again, It will be the final restoration of all things. You can find it right there in the book of Acts. The final restoration of all things. Well, if there's a final restoration of all things, that means that there are other restorations. It's insinuating that there are other restorations. So we're looking at how is God restoring things? I personally believe there will come a day when God will destroy everything by fire. It'll all pass away. But there are some things that will not. It's that which is not corruptible. Is anybody getting this? Is anybody following this? Okay, so we are called. Cities are not just about buildings. Do you understand? Cities are where people are. Cities are where people are. Cities are where places where people dwell and they live. So you need to understand when it's talking about these foundations, it's not just talking about brick and mortar. It's talking about people's lives. Notice it says this. It says, though they have been deserted for many generations. He's called us to restore that which has been lost throughout the generations. By the way, which is our family line, those things which are broken up in our family. What has been corrupted in your family? What's been corrupted in your life? God wants to use you to bring restoration to those things. You have been born again, not with a perishable, not with a corrupt, but an incorrupt, imperishable seed. Though it may seem like everything is perishing, there are things that will not perish. God, again, is shaking the heavens and the earth so that those things which are not shaken, which cannot be shaken, will remain. Those are imperishable things. Okay, God wants to do this in your life, but he also wants to do it in Johnstown. He wants to do it in the region. He wants to do it in the state of Pennsylvania. He wants to do it in the United States. He wants to create imperishable things where the enemy has tarnished and made things perishable, where he is corrupted. So let's talk about food. How does food get corrupted? I mean, some people think that food is corrupted, you know, a little quicker than others. Like my wife, you know, if there's a little bit of mold on something, everything goes in the trash. There's a lot of people that believe that. See, I know her as well. I grew up in a household where you might try to save the rest of it and you'd skim the rest of it off. Some people throw bananas away sooner than others. Like, as soon as they start to turn brown, they're gone. Some people eat them when they're brown, and that's disgusting. But when is something corrupted? When is it spoiled? When is it no longer good? There's a point where something becomes spoiled. Something becomes corrupted. Sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes the corruption takes place quicker than you can actually see with your eyes, but the corruption is actually happening. Let's say, you know, there are certain things that need to be sterile. We know this in the medical field. Sam could come here and talk about this, right, Sam? We know this and many others who are in the medical field, but he's in his surgical job, so he understands the need to keep things very clean. Otherwise, it's corrupted. And when that thing is corrupted and it touches your body, it corrupts you. And then you have an infection. So we don't want things to spoil, but the truth is that God said back in Genesis chapter 6 that everything has been corrupted by sin, which has passed down from generation to generation. Sin is corrupting the world. It's affecting everyone. It's affecting all society, every place. Sin is that which corrupts or ruins people's lives. So where is it born from? Where did it come from? Where did this thing come from? Which actually destroys lives? What is sin or the root of sin? We look at Adam and Eve and we see that Eve had a conversation with the devil, and the devil begins to say, listen, I don't think it's quite like you think it is. Now, where did her thoughts come from before? They came from what God said. And now the enemy shows up and he says, listen, did God really say, you know, I think that tree isn't really the source of all evil. You're not going to die. The Bible says when she became convinced that the tree was good and its fruit would make her to be like God, it says that she took it and ate it. Where was the problem? The problem was is that she became convinced of something other than what God said. She became convinced of a lie. The sin, the first sin was not the fact that she took the fruit and ate it. The first sin was that she believed what the devil said rather than what God said. Because once she believed, her actions followed. When you believe something, you're going to move it. That's why faith is so important in the New Testament. I absolutely loved our brother Luther O'Connor, who spoke at the conference. That was probably one of the most powerful messages I've heard in a long, long time. That word about faith, there was a part in there where he said, faith, and I totally agree with this, exactly what I'm just telling you right now. The reason that faith is so important is because faith is the opposite of sin, which is believing the opposite of what God says. Believing something other than what God tells you. That is where sin is born. That's where corruption takes place. And it says in this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, it says that you have been born again, not with a corruptible or a perishable seed. You have been born again with an incorruptible seed. What is that seed? The Word of God. Jesus told a story about the four soils, and the sower went out to throw the seed on the soil. What was the seed that fell on the soil? It was the Word of God. Every time the seed was falling on the soil, and the soil represents the hearts of men. Who will believe what God says? Those who have hard hearts? No, the enemy comes and takes that seed away quickly. They don't receive it at all. The thorny ground, the rocky soil, they receive it, but they don't cling to it like the good soil does. The Scripture tells us that the good soil not only heard it, but they received it and clung to what God said and went on to produce a huge harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. How do we walk? How do we walk in this place and see not only the incorruptible seed bring us to a place where our lives are pure and incorruptible, but not only us, but the world around us? How do we see this world changed? Another great passage. I already quoted some of it, but I'm going to take you to it. Before I do, you ready with that video? Why don't you go ahead and play it? Just pull it up. Pause it. So many of you have probably maybe heard of this. There was a doctor, a scientist, who studied the ability of sound and its effect on water. I'm not pronouncing this correct, but it's something like Mizuno or Mizuno. But anyway, they would take and freeze, they would instantaneously freeze water when stuff was spoken into the water. And he believed that you could sort of see the effect of the power of words as it was spoken into water. And of course, there were all these different things they would say, like hate or love or all of these different words. And as they did this, it created various frozen spectacles. You would be able to see that the water would freeze these beautiful ice crystals, or they would freeze in an ugly form or fashion, and there was two different results to this. So then he took it a step further, and he said, I know what I'll do. This is an experiment. So he took the water, and he applied it to food, which one of the most basic ways he thought of was to put it into rice. He made rice, boiled it in water. When it's still hot, put it in a container with the water, and put labels on the containers. Now, This experiment has been recreated several times over. In fact, a good friend of mine had one of their children do this experiment in school as evidence of the power of words. And so as you can see, there are three jars. They're all the same rice out of the same pot that was made. You have love, hate, and ignore written on them. So now, go ahead and play the video. Hopefully it'll
go and kill yourself. And the container marked ignore, I do just that. It's been about 9 weeks now, and it's finally over. And I'm happy to tell you that it's a success. All right? And this is what happened. All right, so the container marked with love is, it's in quite good shape. It's a little yellow, but I'd probably eat it. All right. And the container marked hate is, it's in bad shape. All right, this is quite disgusting. There's no way I would even touch this. The container marked ignore is, it's in better shape than the container marked hate, but it's still quite disgusting. It's actually quite surprising because I thought that the container marked ignore would be in the worst shape of all. But for some reason, it's not. You know, I've seen people doing this experiment and the container marked ignore would always, in most cases, be the one in the worst shape. This experiment, it just proves to me that our thoughts is not just an interior force, but also an exterior force, which okay. means that...
So, you can actually find all of these videos of people that have done this experiment, and they have taken, and some of them put them in the refrigerator, just like they were all in the refrigerator together. Some of them talked about how they spoke. They would take time, and every day they would speak words of love to one, and words of hate and rejection to the other, and words and ignore the other one. And it's true, this guy said it in this video, he said oftentimes the ignore would be the worst one, but the ignore and the hate often had the most corruption, so to speak. And there were others where eventually the ones with the love, they did turn moldy and those kind of things, and so we want to be real about it. It does happen. But the thing is that it's the power of word. It's the power of the word that is spoken. And I know from a personal friend who actually did this, and the same thing proved true. So what does this tell us? It tells us that there is a power in the words that we speak. So every day, they were taking this rice. I mean, it's something as stupid and as inanimate as rice that has water and moisture in it, and speaking to it either words of love or good things or words of hate and seeing the difference. Isaiah 61. I'm sorry, that's not right. Isaiah 55. In Proverbs, it says, 18:21, the power of life and death is in the tongue. This is taken from Isaiah 55. It says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? So we have this invitation from God to come and eat and to drink. He has something good for us, something that we should... He's basically saying, why are you paying for things that are no good when I have what's good for you? And then it turns. Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Why? So that you can listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command the nations you do not know. And peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We have this comparison of the corruption of the world versus what God says. God says, my ways are higher. See, we already have experienced the fall, and all of mankind has experienced that. So we know that God's truth is life. Remember Peter said this to Jesus? He said, you alone have the words of life. You alone. It's not found anywhere else. Life comes from you. When you speak, there's life. Sounds a lot like Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. When we hear this, by faith, receiving what God says, we are changed and made new. And in the same way, God says right here, listen, if you want good things, come listen to me. Come with your ears wide open. Come and receive what I have. Because my thoughts aren't anything like your thoughts. My ways aren't anything like your ways. It's all higher. It will change your life. It will change you from corruptible or corrupted to incorruptible. It is the seed of incorruption in your life. You see, every time you believe a lie, you're being corrupted. Amen. Every time you believe what the enemy says, you're being corrupted. Even if it sounds clever like the truth, but it's not God, it is a lie. And it has the ability to begin to corrupt us. Mold begins to grow in our spirit. You understand? We've got to stand true to what God says. He says, my thoughts, nothing like your thoughts, and my ways far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now listen to this. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will always accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name, and they will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. So what I want to say is this. Not only are we to receive what God says about us, what he says about our lives, about our families, to restore the ancient ruins, but also this whole region. And I believe that we're called to speak into the places that we live, speak into the places, that the regions that we want to see lives change. We want to see lives. We want to call things that be not as though they are. I mean, speaking things into existence because we believe it. So you don't say things. You don't really say things unless you have a belief that that's true. This is why I think that we should be a little more careful with our words. Because the word of God that comes out of our mouth will accomplish whatever God intends it to accomplish. But what happens if we speak something else? You know, you hear people saying this kind of stuff all the time. Oh, I'm so stupid. I'm an idiot. You know, change your belief. Change your confession. Because that's not who God intended you to be. What you say about yourself has an effect on your life. But not only on you, what about on your children? What about on your spouse? What you say about your spouse to other people? Oh, those amens are just so encouraging. What are you saying about your family? What are you saying about the people that you chose to be with the rest of your life, that God said you belong together? What are you saying about them? Are you speaking that which God would say? Are you prophesying into that situation? Are you declaring a thing like God would declare it? Are you speaking that which is corrupted, that which is the enemy? Because I guarantee you, the word that comes out of your mouth is the word that will affect your relationships, will affect your spouse, will affect the people in your lives. Oh, come on, show me the most backward kid, the most undeveloped child, the person that has all these problems. I will show you a parent that can't speak good into their child's life. Show me a broken marriage, and I'll show you a spouse that curses her husband or his wife. Show me, and I will show you somebody who can't control their tongue, or somebody who can. Because out of the mouth, out of this place right here, is the ability to speak life or death. And it's not just some mystical thing. It is the power of God. The Word of God is powerful. And what you say matters. Amen. I've had to challenge myself on this. You know, there have been things that I just, you know, flippantly say in my life, and I've had to say, well, I got to stop letting that thing go off. I have this little reaction to say these things that are and sometimes they're just foolish things. Why would you say that? Let the Word of God penetrate your heart and your life and begin to say what God says. So what do we say about Johnstown? What do we say about this area? Come on now. We say it's blessed. It's blessed. The city saved. The region saved. We declare salvation to this region. We declare prosperity to this region. It's not depressed, it's blessed. I believe that the power of life and death is in our tongue, but it's got to begin in here somewhere. We got to begin to believe what God says. Are we called to repair the ruined cities?
Yes.
The foundations that were laid by the enemy, the things that have been corrupted, to be made new by the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful that it brought everything that we know and see into existence.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Powerful. And we've got to believe it. You know, there are two different forms. Sometimes it's unbelief and sometimes it's ignorance. Sometimes people don't say what God says because they have no idea what God says. They have made up fairy tales, half-truths, things that they've heard other people say. They have said those things as if God was saying them, and it wasn't God at all. 9 times out of 10, God is saying, listen, here is your blessing. I mean, let's just go say 10 out of 10. I believe that God wants you blessed.
Amen.
He wants us blessed. And whenever he gives us a promise, it's for blessing. So why aren't we saying what God says? Instead of cursing our lives, cursing the situation. Some of you, you've all heard this story. Some of you haven't. I'm going to tell it again. Years ago, I worked in a place and was in a construction job site. There was an overseer to the site. My job was to make sure that the drain pipes passed the pressure test. I was working, it was a couple-man crew, to make sure that those drain pipes were able to hold the pressure. And nobody could get these certain plugs to hold. And I was trying to work on it, and the overseer of the job, who knew that I was a pastor but kind of made fun of me at it, came to me and he was like, so you think you'll be able to get that? I was like, yes, I believe I'll be able to get it. But it wasn't holding. And so I'm working on it at the end of the day. And finally, in my frustration, because it would not hold, no matter what I did, I began to think about Jesus crossing the lake, walking on water, because there was really no good reason. I mean, let's think about it. He could have easily gotten into the boat. Does anybody else believe that? He could have easily gotten into the boat when everybody else did, went across the lake. And I think about these things. I think about him calming the storm. I think about him pulling the fish from the water and bringing up the coin to pay the taxes. You know, that is why? And Jesus did all of these things, and he spoke to the mountain. He said, speak to the mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and it will obey you if you have faith, right? It's seed of mustard seed, faith. And so I just did that. I looked at that thing, and I said, you know what? In the name of Jesus, I command you to stop leaking. In the name of Jesus, I command you. I can't fix it. Jesus, I ask you to take care of it. I command it to stop leaking according to your word, that you would bless whatever I put my hands to, so bless it. I commanded it to stop leaking, and I just left it go and went home that night. Like, I didn't do anything else to it. The next morning, we came in, and we ran the test. I didn't touch it. We ran the test, and guess what? It held. And the overseer for the job foreman, came to me, and he's there looking at the thing, and he goes, he looks at me, and he goes, so what'd you do? Pray for it? And I said, well, actually, I did. And he began to chastise me because of his faith and where he was at, thinking that God would not honor that kind of request, but I was here to tell him he just did. And my point is this, is that when we speak to something, speak in faith, speak what God says, I could have sat there all day long and kept cursing that thing. You know what the curses look like when you're on a job site? Things aren't going your way. When you're fixing your car, things aren't going your way. There have been several times, I can't get this thing, this part to move on this vehicle. I can't get this pipe to come off. I can't get this bolt to come off. I can't get this thing to move. And I'm like, ah! Who's been there? Yeah. Don't lie and keep your hand down. If you do, it's because you've never worked on a vehicle. And I have learned that in the midst of that, when I'm just ready to explode with something inside of me, I stop and I look at it and I go, thank you, Jesus, that this thing is moving in your name. I thank you that it's going to come off. I thank you it's going to do what I'm asking. And you know, I walk away and I come back a few hours later and it's like somebody greased the thing all up and made it happen. Like I go to turn it and it just turns. Can anybody else say that that's happened to you? Because it's happened to me multiple times. Many multiple times. I learned to stop cursing and start blessing. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm learning. And I pray that all of us will learn the same thing. This is what we're called to do when it comes to John said. This is why we have the Overflow Conference. So we can bless the churches in there. We can bless this whole region. We can call forth revival in this region. And man, every time we have that conference and people come outside of our church, I believe it does a great thing for our church as well. But when they come outside of our church and they come and they sit and they listen to teaching or they listen to worship or whatever it is, they're hearing it, faith is erupting on the inside of them. Those things that the enemy has tried to corrupt is being reversed by the power of the Word, the power of God. Amen. I'm going to share a testimony. Probably I shouldn't, but I'm going to anyway because I know and love this brother. But Frank Young came to me this past week, came to Scott and I, and came sat in my office on Tuesday. And he was sitting in a restaurant in the morning. And when he was in the restaurant in the morning, two guys came up to him. And they began a conversation with him about the Overflow Conference, his ministry over here, and all of these things. They don't go to our church. They don't go, you know, they're not from around here. And they actually had known some people that went to the conference and were very excited. And they were also pretty excited about the fact that Frank, they had heard some of the things that Frank was doing in his ministry. And One of them said, yeah, do you know that he quit his job? He quit his job so that he could do this ministry full time. And I think one of them said, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Lord, what are you going to do for money? And he's like, I'm not worried. That's God's business. I'm not worried about it. It's God's business. Meanwhile, knowing that he had a bill to pay that was $1,200. And he said, that's God's business. He'll take care of it. When the men walked out of the restaurant and they had finished their conversation, after they walked out, later on he paid his bill and went to walk out of the restaurant, and there stood one of those guys and said, I felt like the Lord told me to give you everything I had in my wallet. I don't know who carries around this much cash in their wallet. They gave him enough to pay that bill. And he was there howling, laughing in my office at what the Lord had done. I just want to say, it's because of what he was saying out of his mouth. That's not my business. God will take care of it. Why will he take care of it? Because he had faith that he would. Believe what God says and say what God says. Father in heaven, I thank you for each person here. I thank you for their faith in what you say. I thank you for the power of your word. Your word is not to be taken flippantly or treated as though it has no power. But we uphold it. We hold fast to it. We cling to it. And we proclaim it. Not only to ourselves, to our own life, but we proclaim it to others. We proclaim it to our family. We proclaim it to this region, to the whole city. We proclaim it to this nation and beyond. Lord, I pray that you would make us people who know your word, who study your word, who know what you say. And Lord, when we know what you say, we proclaim what you say. We say what God says rather than what everybody else is saying, rather than what the world says, rather than what the enemy says. We say what you say. And Lord, as we do, we release a power from heaven that cannot be comprehended, it can't be measured, it can't be quantified, but we know there's a power at work when we proclaim and say what you say. And Lord, we thank you for it. And Lord, we just release it right now in the name of Jesus. We release faith in your word here today. Lord, to believe what you say, that you will continue to expand this work, expand this house, and expand your kingdom. We strengthen our tent pegs today. We hold fast to what you say, Lord. Because real expansion happens when we do just that. It is faith in your word and in your word alone. God, I pray that you would multiply the effect of your word out of this house. Lord, that we would see great prosperity, multiplication of the blessings of God. Lord, to these people I pray, Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus. They are blessed and not cursed. Lord, everything that they touch is blessed and not cursed. May they spread out to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. May you give them everywhere they tread their feet. May they believe you for what you say and see the fruit of it in their lives. Because your word, when it goes out, it will accomplish everything you sent it to accomplish. It will not return to you empty or void, but it will return full and complete. So Lord, we thank you that your word is prospering in our lives and in this region and around the world, to make that which is corrupted by the enemy incorruptible. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.